right, we're here today with Jean Perrot, sports manager for Veja in France.
Paris,
France, nonetheless, home of the 2024 Summer Olympics. But we're here, and Jean, you're here with Veja Running. I'm excited to talk about what's going on with Veja because you've had the whole brand as a whole has kind of seen is having its moment right now, and it's exciting to see you come into the running space. So I think we want to cover all that. But first, let's get a little bit of a background of you as a person, kind of how you came into running and your role at Veja. But yeah, I'd love to hear about that.
So yeah, I'm Jean. I'm so living in Paris, and I'm working for Veja as a sports development manager. Well, talking about me, I used to be like a rugby player, and I was playing during 10 years, but I get most of the time injured, and so I really wanted to, you know, keep trying to keep myself in shape. And so I found out that running was the best way to do it. And little by little, I step into the running world, discover what does it mean to run a half marathon and then a marathon. And then I push myself to some other limits, starting with the trail running, like a 50K and then 80 miles. And I'm actually training for like race in the mountain, like the TDS, you know, during the UTMB. So it's close for 100 miles in the mountain. And yeah, so I could say that running is a big part of my journey, big part of my life. And since 2 years and a half now, I'm more than happy to be able to include running into my my professional life. Working for Veja as a sport development manager, it's, that means that I'm talking about running almost every day. So I'm more than happy about that, you know.
Well, that's interesting because we know we're going to talk a little bit here about the Condor 3, which is your running shoe that you're making available. But you're running, when you're talking about some of the things you're running right now, you're talking about running trail. Mm-hmm. Are we going to see a Veja shoe for the trail?
Yeah. I can't say it for now, but I let you guess. Yeah, that's
okay.
We explore the possibility to work on that, yeah.
Another question I have for you. So France has another brand that I'm thinking of that's really making a splash in the apparel side for running. And I don't think you have like a full running kit gear yet for Veja. What are you wearing for like gear in these events?
So on the trail running, on the like marathon and stuff like this? On the
day. All of it. Yeah. Day to day, what brands are you wearing?
I prefer to have less, but better, you know, so quality. So I used to wear brands such as, for example, Satisfy, you know, it's a really quality. I mean, to me, it's like a good quality and I prefer have less than more, you know. And also wear like a French brand. The name is Compress Sport. It's really technical, light.
Yeah.
It's a good purpose for me to wear this kind of brand for marathon, for road running or trail running because you need, you know, to combine technicity and lightness and durability, of course, in the product. So.
Yeah. So you're staying patriotic.
Yeah, I guess so. But I didn't do that on purpose, you know, but yeah.
They're both great brands. So, yeah.
Yeah. Different universe for sure. But yeah, combine like what I'm looking for when I'm running. So far, so good.
Awesome. Yeah. Nice. So let's talk about Veja a little bit. Kind of give me a little bit of a background of the company for those who aren't familiar with them. We've seen them more and more here in the U.S. over the last couple of years, but
in the casual side,
especially in the casual side, I'd say, I know like when I drop my kids off at school, I'll see some parents rocking the white leather, or I guess it's not leather.
It's the closest thing to a Stan, what was it? Stan Smith.
Yeah. Like a very classic looking
tennis
shoe.
Style.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, to give us a little bit of a background of Veja and kind of where they
mission.
Came from.
Mm-hmm.
So Veja, we have been creating sneakers like in a different way, you know, since 2005. So 2005. And the way that we want to do that was by mixing a social project, economical justice, and of course, ecological materials. And that's the three pillars of Veja. You know, we really wanted to make things on that way, not thinking about creating a brand on the ecological way that today everyone is saying that, oh, I'm a sustainable brand and that and this and so on. No, we just wanted to do stuff on our own way. And because we pushed the marker on their very last limit, then yes, we can say that Veja is on the one way sustainable, but that's not the purpose of the brand. The purpose is, yeah, thinking about how we can mix the social project, having an economic justice with, and also the ecological materials. And to do so, so Veja is a French brand, and we produce everything in Brazil. Why in Brazil? Because the two founders, when they decided to launch the brand, they was like, okay, how can we create a running shoe with all the materials on the same place? And they found out that Brazil was the best place to do so because there is all the materials that we need to create a sneakers. So the Amazonian wild rubber. So it came from the EVA tree in the Amazonian rainforest. Then we have the organic cotton and the sourced leather. So that means we are able to trace the leather that we use in all our sneakers. And it's the same for the cotton and the same for the rubber. But to move forward, Veja mean in Portuguese, it mean look behind, look. And the idea was to say, okay, look where there is behind a shoe, what there is behind a Veja running shoe. And that's why we really want today to be, we are really proud about where we are because since 18 years old now, we have the same mindset. That means we don't have any advertising since the beginning. Everything that you can see on the social networks, on the press, on everything, it's only organic. Then we have zero investors. So since the beginning, Veja, it's still the same company owned by the two founders. And we almost have zero stock. That means we only made to order products in order to have as less stock as possible. And we ship, of course, everything by boat instead of by plane, which is like a disaster for the planet. So, yeah, that right. can be the three things that you can today remember of Veja.
Yeah, I found that one of the probably more incredible things is that you don't do any advertising, that everything, when you see it on a celebrity's feed or just, you know, out in public, or it becomes a trend. I know, I forget what celebrity wore it and then you sold out of, I think it got, there's a really big spike in traffic like a few years back.
Yeah.
Who was it? Do you remember?
Oh, but we have like the British Queen's family, you know?
That's a big one.
There is a lot of one. We have like, the name of the actress from Harry Potter, Emma Watson. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, Emma Watson, that's right.
Many other profile, but I mean, nothing is paid or whatever. They just wear it because they like it, you know.
Yeah.
I want to go back though, because I'm not sure I totally understand the social part. When you said the three prongs of Veja, and the beginning one was like you said, like sort of a social experiment social. What do you mean by that?
So we source everything in Brazil and we craft everything in Brazil. And that means we are working directly with people on the field. But to do so, we have to know them. For example, we work with more than 1,100 families in the Amazonian rainforest who collect the rubber from the trees, you know, directly for us. And to do so, we set up an office in the last city before the Amazonian rainforest. And we have people on the field who meet all the producers, explain the project, why they have to collect rubber for us instead of deforesting their land, instead of setting cattle, you know, with coal and everything. And that's for us a really big part of the project. So that means we create a contract between Veja and the producer to follow them. We pay in advance the production, you know. So whatever could be the issue of the recolt, I don't know, it can be a disaster, a storm or whatever, and they will not be able to collect the rubber for us. We pay everything in advance to be sure that the relationship between us and people on the field will be successful. And it's exactly the same with the cotton and the leather. And on the other hand, we work with factories in Brazil, and we work with factories, and they all have a union worker, which is a big improvement in Brazil. And it's really important for us because that means that the factories that we work with fit with our DNA and our value. Instead of, you know, producing everything in other country, I will not name them, but it's something really meaningful for us. So when we talk about economical justice, it's the price of the shoe. As we don't have any advertising, we can reallocate all the resources into the materials and the producer.
That's cool.
I mean, there is. I mean, this seems logistically heavy. Like, this isn't something that you would just, hey, I want to do a shoe company and I'm going to go over to Brazil and meet with some people and figure out this stuff. Where do the founders come from that they have the acumen to produce a shoe like this? Like, this is a heavy lift.
It's a crazy story. So they are, first of all, they're friends, and they was together working as a financial auditing, you know, and they was traveling into China to do an audit of a factory. And they found that during the visit of the factory, everything looked really nice, you know, like the factory looked good and so on. And then they asked to see the condition of the daily life of the worker. And they went into another space after the factory and then discovered the disaster. You know, they have almost 12 per rooms with toilets in the middle of the rooms and so on. And there was like, hey,
wow,
we are in a new era of development, and how this kind of stuff is still possible, you know. So 20 years ago, they had the idea to create something with the most, accurate to our generation, a sneaker, but on a different way. And to do so, as I said, they really wanted to find a spot where they can have all the resources that they need to create a shoe. And it turns out that it was the Brazil.
I mean, yeah, I love that story. I love everything about it. And because I feel like today we hear so many claims of sustainability or ecological justice or manufacturing or, you know, from every shoe company.
Trying to say greenwashing?
Yeah, basically. Every shoe company has it somewhere in one of their models or across their line. And I have yet to come across a brand that I feel like is actually doing what they say. The way that you're describing it from the entire life cycle of production seems like Veja is maybe the only brand that I know of doing, actually committed to every step of the process and doing that.
But I also like that he said that that's not their main focus to be green. It's a benefit of the way they've decided to do it.
Right.
But it's not like they're not out here saying, hey, this is the only way and you have to recycle everything. They're just saying, this is something that we take into consideration. Am I right?
Exactly. I mean, it's part of our DNA and the way that we want to create products, you know. And on the other hand, we don't screaming on every single roof, you know, to say that, oh, we are doing this on that way, or by 2030, we're going to be 50% of our production will be green or whatever. No, we only talk about things that we already done, and that's it. Because there is also a lot of stuff that we don't do on the right way, and we are fully transparent on that. You can find it on our website, you know. We talk about everything we have done, and the things that we are coming up, we are just not talking about it. We will talk about it when it will be done, you know.
Yeah. I feel like, not just in business but even with people, I feel like the people who are really making the most difference don't talk about it the most. That it's something that's personal to them and meaningful to their core mission, whether that's in life or in business, and they just go and do it.
I'm always
skeptical when people or businesses are very loud about what they're doing, because it seems like it always seems like they're trying to cover up for something else.
Well, I think that it's also a stage of where we are. You know, this is a new thing in the industry to try to be responsible with how you source goods and things like that. So I think that the way that people are going about it they're trying to make more noise about it to bring awareness to it. But at the same time, it's so new that you're not sure. But the thing that's crazy to me is when we'll get a sustainable company that's saying that's their main focus, but then they ship the box to you. It's in three boxes. You got another box inside. There's all sorts of cardboard inserts and marketing materials inside. And you're like, wow, you just defeated everything that you basically put in the shoe.
Yeah, it's exactly the same when a shoe come on the market, a brand come on the market and say, oh, we just produced a new shoe. It's made by 30 or 50% of recycled plastic. But when you dig into that, you find out that, okay, the plastic is collected in the south of America, for example, and then they ship the plastic to China to build the shoe, yeah, and ship again the shoe into America. And so at the end of the day, it's less impactful to create a shoe from scratch instead of trying to, you know, build something around recycling materials and having an ecological product that it turns out is not ecological at all, you know.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump into the running product, the Condor 3 that we just received. I haven't been running in it just because the size I got was a little bit off size. I think that there's maybe a difference between European sizing and U.S. sizing that kind of gets lost in the translation.
Yeah.
But we've had Robbie running it, and we've had...
I just took it off my foot right now for those listening to the podcast.
And luckily in our office, Carl is also a 10.5, and it fits him a little bit more true to size. We've tried the Veja shoes before for running, and we're like, we love the mission, we love everything, but the feel of it just wasn't quite up to standards as far as performance goes. They might be good for someone who's running 3 miles or taking to the gym, or that extension of that consumer that likes the casual shoe who wants a running profile, but it hasn't been something for performance. We're kind of excited to say the Condor 3 has kind of bridged that gap where it's now you have a runnable performance shoe.
Well, thank you. It's good because it was more than 2 years of work to be able to launch this kind of shoe. But I'm just curious to say, what can be your first feedback regarding the shoe when you try it on?
Yeah, for sure. So as Thomas said, the first two versions of the Condor, I think he was being a little bit generous. I thought they were pretty terrible. I'll just be honest.
No, like, it's totally.
It'll provide good background.
We do like a comeback story.
It'll provide good background for this shoe. I wasn't that excited to get this shoe or when I first heard about it.
But then when we went to the running event and we tried it on, and it was a hard cement floor in the hall, and we tried it on, and both Robbie and I, our heads whipped back at each other. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. And so then we got the shoe in, I think I've had it for like a month and a half now. And I've actually been really loving this shoe, not just as a running shoe, but as a lifestyle shoe as well. It's incredibly comfortable. It feels great underfoot. Like just as a running shoe, the upper is fantastic. It has the sawtooth style laces that you see in the racing shoes. It looks beautiful. I'm not joking when I say this is just overall my favorite shoe right now.
Wow.
You see it. I wear it like all the time.
He does wear it all the time. But Robbie is a sucker for fashion. I do think it does look nice. And I also like the other colorway that they sent.
Do we have that in here?
I think Carl has it right now.
I thought there was another pair in here. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, it might be in the other room.
When
we put the podcast together, we can show the two. We have photos we can put it together. But the look of it, I like, because it has modern overlays, welded overlays on it. But you also kind of throw back to it. It kind of has somewhat of a classic running shoe style to it. And I think that's where Robbie's talking about somewhat of the crossover between running and actually performance. It does look good on the foot, which that in itself is going to get consumers to like the shoe. But really what stood out to me the most was the feeling of the foam, because the last two Condors had a very harsh feeling underfoot. And this one has that give and that resiliency that you're looking for in a daily trainer.
Yeah, definitely.
But I will tell you why, you know. So just back in the back in 2019, we decided to introduce the first running shoe, the Condor One, you know. And it was a way for us to be able to create a sport shoe with the same DNA, the same way that we create lifestyle shoes. So with all the three crowns that we talked before. And it was really tough, you know, because we decided it took us 4 years to launch the first running shoe. So that means we already had the idea in 2015, you know, so almost 10 years ago. And 10 years after, we are here with the Condor 3. So it's a long way to be able from the raw materials, recycled materials, to be able to have like finally a proper running shoe. And the first two versions of the Condor, well, there was an improvement between the Condor 1 and the Condor 2. But as you say, the first fit impression was really hard, really firm. And it's mainly due to the fact that we didn't find a way in the technology and having enough R&D to be able to create a proper form, a running form with our raw materials, bio-based materials and recycled materials. And little by little, you know, by working with our team in Brazil, with our prototype factory in Brazil, we find a way to have finally like the perfect midsole for us with like the right expansion, with the right Asker C score, you know. The Asker C score. It's something you can find it on every single running shoe. It's an index that measures the hardness of the rubber. So from
like durometer.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
From 100 is the hardest, and from 0 is the softest and the softest. And today the average on the market is between 45 and 48, depending like what you are looking for on a running shoe. And before our shoes was between 52 and 58. So that means it was really firm, you know. And today we are, the score is 46. So we are right in the middle, you know. And that's why it's a big, big improvement for us, because today no one is capable to do that with our, this kind of materials, this kind of, like natural wire rubber, for example, or EVA, but not like synthetic EVA.
So let me back you. Can I back you up a little bit and ask a question about the construction? Because I think a big part of it is you're talking about it's all manufactured in Brazil. So you're saying this foam, you actually have chemists putting together this foam in Brazil from materials that are naturally occurring in Brazil?
Yeah, exactly. So for example, in the shoe, I finally have the shoe.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the colorway of the launch. So the biggest part of a running shoe, of course, is the midsole, because this is where everything happens. Like you have all the cushioning, but also the shock absorption and the energy return. And the midsole, usually it's made with the technology of the brand. You know, every brand has his own technology and his own composition. As we decided to integrate our own material, for example, in the midsole, we have 43% of sugarcane based EVA, so it's a chemical formulation with sugarcane inside, and the rest of the shoes is also like 25% of Amazonian wild rubber.
So when you talk about sugarcane EVA, because we've seen that in other shoes, that's really not like the sweet part that people are eating. It's the husk or the outside
waste
that would normally be waste, right?
Yeah, it's waste. It's not the sugar. Yeah, it's the waste of the sugarcane. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. I won't try to eat my shoe next time.
Yeah.
That explains why it tasted terrible.
Yeah. And so you're saying the other part is, so it's a mixture of that EVA rubber from the rubber tree plant.
And then
so right now you guys aren't doing a super critical. That's a standard compressed foam, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And there is another thing inside the shoe. We can see it now, but we have our own technology of foam. And so we have a double foam. We have like this one that you can see and one who is inside the shoe. It's like a long plate. It looks like a carbon plate, but in fact, it's like a latex pillow. We call it L-foam. It's our own technology. And it's made with 30% of natural latex. We can do 100%, and it's the same for the midsole and every single materials. Because if you do like 100% midsole, for example, with a natural wild rubber, it will be, first of all, really heavier. And secondly, you will lose all the propriety of what you are looking for a running shoe, you know. And also the speed abrasion will be too fast for the shoe. So that means the shoe will not be durable at all, you know, in terms of daily right. use. That's why we don't have like all the marker push into 100%.
So you guys are kind of pushing the limits on what you can do with these materials, especially from one sourcing place in Brazil. Do yeah. you find that you are kind of doing the homework for other brands now? And we're going to see other brands kind of like looking at what you're doing and trying to adopt it?
Well, I don't want to say that we are doing the homework for the other brand, because it will be like a bit cocky, you know, to say this kind of stuff. like, but on the other hand, everyone knows that every brand have his own office, you know, and own lab and own research, but then they work hand to hand by hand with a factory. Is the factory we have the knowledge, of course the brand have the knowledge, but the factory also have the knowledge, and it's between, because you work together with your factory, with your prototype lab and so on, that you are able to do this kind of stuff. Tomorrow we can give all our shoe composition to someone else. If they don't have our knowledge, I don't think they will be able to do exactly the same. They will do something will look like it, but maybe not the same. And if this kind of shoe can inspire the rest of the market by doing things on the right way, well, we will be more than happy, and we want to follow our paths, you know. But we don't want to be the one who say, oh, we do the running shoe on that way. Guys, you must do it on our way because this is the best way that we can do. No. I mean, if they want to do it on another way, fine. But if they want to follow us, we'll be more than happy that all the market can join us on the direction that we think it's, I mean, relevant for us, but for everyone at the end of the day, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So have you been, has this been your go-to shoe then for running?
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to, you know, to try on the shoe since the beginning. So since almost 1 year and a half now. And yeah, so when we wanted to come back on the market with this running shoe, we was thinking about creating a go-to run shoe for everyone. For the beginner, it will be like the everyday running shoe. And for a core runner, it will be part of his rotation for like the recovery run or the jog, the easy run. And I push the shoe until like the tempo run, you know, just before like running some marathon pace or stuff like this. But we also try on the shoe on marathon. For example, there are runners who test the shoe. They run the marathon in three hours and 15 minutes with any problems, you know. But it's not the purpose of the shoe. I mean, we are not targeting the performance. We are targeting the daily runner, because on the sport category, we really want to have one product per sport. So one training shoe, one hiking shoe, one running shoe. Tomorrow, maybe one trail running shoe. And the idea is the most versatile shoes that we can do, you know. Having one shoe to do everything except competition, because we will not have carbon plate inside.
Yeah. No, I love that. And that's what, like when we do reviews, a lot of the times I try to frame the review as
what the tools.
What that shoe is meant to be. So for different shoes, that's a different thing. This isn't going to be, like you said, your marathon shoe. It could be, but it's not. Yeah. That's not what it's meant
for. It depends what level you're at.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, if you are targeting 3 hours and 30 minutes, that's fine.
Yeah. You know, it could definitely work.
For sure. For that.
But what one of my favorite...
I would beg to differ on that.
I mean, if you want to, you can, but there is studies. Yeah. I like the fact that it's not relevant at all to have a carbon plate shoe until a speed limit, you know.
Yeah. Wow. And one of my favorite categories of shoes to review in general is this type of shoe, which is a shoe that you can wear as lifestyle or you can run in. I just like a shoe that does everything, because you only have to buy one shoe. So especially if you're someone who runs, say, 15 miles a week, you know, maybe a 3 mile run, 5 mile run every other day. It's such a great shoe where it can work as a, you know, if you're traveling, you can wear it to a nice, you can wear it to a meeting, or you can wear it for a run. You can wear it to walk around. You can wear it for anything.
Yeah.
And that's, and I, in a way, I feel like that's even more sustainable than a lot of shoes because it covers everything you need.
I mean, that is certainly a category that we cover. I know, like when you said core runner, beginner runner, sort of, I do feel like there's a spot for us when we get a shoe like this. It's going to be used, like you said, for daily training, like the easy miles. When we want to jump it up, we're going to go with something lighter and stuff. But like Robbie said, around the office, Robbie's wearing this all the time. And so, yeah, it really does work. I guess one of the questions I have is usually shoe companies are, when they're releasing a shoe, they might already be working on the next two versions of the shoe. The 20, at this point, it'd be the 25 and 26. So Condor 4 and Condor 5. Are you already testing shoes for the future on this line?
That's a good one. Yeah, we are definitely working on that way because we deeply feel that we can improve our shoe, not year after year, but as soon as the innovation makes sense for us, then we will launch it on the market. We are not driven by a date or an event or something like this. We deeply trust the process by making a shoe make sense for us, So for example, this shoe, if she was ready only next year, because the technology or whatever will be ready for next year, we will launch it only next year and wait another year before launching it. And so it will be the same for the other shoes that we are working on. We just want to be sure, 100% sure, that it will fit with the runner needs, And as soon as you launch a shoe, you find a way to improve it. It's exactly the same than an artist when he finalizes a painting, yeah. or the next one, And it's quite the same for us. But so far, the idea is, once again, to keep the DNA of this shoe. That means like cushioning, really like comfort and support, the weight, and also the durability, and then to improve that on the other, on the next version. And having a shoe as possible,
I like that philosophy, and we're starting to see it even in some of the major brands, that it's not about following a calendar to just have a fall release or whatever every year at the same time to tweak a shoe. That some are coming out and saying, we're not going to change this shoe until we have something that our athletes think is an improvement. The one that I'm thinking of in that case would be like Adidas with their race day shoe. They've held back on releasing a shoe in almost for 2 years now, Robbie, because they felt like their athletes didn't feel like it was an advantage, which again plays into when we talk about sustainability and stuff. If you're, instead of flooding the market with something that you feel is subpar and just doing it so that you can raise the price back up to full price, I think that's another way to kind of have a philosophy behind sustainability.
Sure. And then something important also, most of the brand today, they talk about mileage for a running shoe. An average, after, two or 300 miles, then you have to change your shoe because the foam will be not responsive anymore or whatever. And so it already set up a box in your mind. You change your shoe after 300 or 500 miles. And we conducted tests with, of course, in factory, mechanical tests in the factories. And then we did exactly the same, but with runner during a long, long period. And it turns out that even if after, I don't have the conversion in miles between
you
kilometers.
You can do kilometers. Just 2 kilometers.
Yeah. Like
1,000 kilometers, I think it's 700 miles.
620 miles.
Yeah. 620. The shoes, of course, have sign of daily use, or the outsole get really used and so on, but the foam still keep the same cushioning, the same energy return. And so there is no truth by saying that this shoes is made for to run like this amount of kilometer. As long as you don't have any sign of shoe deformation or any pain or stuff like this, we find out that the shoes is still runnable. That's why we say that the shoes is durable. Of course, it's durable on the way that we make it, but it's durable on the way that you wear it. And we used to say at Veja that the most ecological shoe is the one that you already wear.
Yeah. Well, it's already made. Yeah. The problem with that, though, especially for our audience, is that they like to buy shoes. So you know, they want that. It doesn't have to die at 300 or 500 kilometers, but it has. They're going to buy a new shoe anyway.
Guys, I will be transparent with you. I buy also running shoe, you know, because I love new stuff all the time. So, it's just a way of thinking product also, you know, if you think something to be durable or not, it's not the same way than in the process and everything, you know.
Mm. Well, that's one of the shoes. They're not French, but they probably share some sense. Oh, yeah, we got you.
Sorry.
They're not French, but they probably share the same sensibility as a shoe brand called Norda out of Canada. And they believe that being sustainable means making a shoe that basically is almost indestructible. And so, yeah, there's all different angles to come at to get the value and the lifespan out of a shoe to make it worthwhile. So it's nice to see, but it used to mean that you had to build like a tank. And it was not comfortable, but it would last forever. Now it's nice to see that there are shoes like the Condor 3 where it has some comfort features built into it and can remain durable. Do you feel like the plate shape, the latex plate shape in the inlay in the midsole helps keep the feel of the shoe fresh longer?
So far, it's mainly due to the fact that the midsole and the composition of the midsole is really resistant, you know. And that's the heart of the shoe. It's the midsole. It's due to that. The L foam then it drive an of course like feeling of comfort and an energy return and a cushioning, but it's the combination of the two we found out that it's the combination of the two elements who give to the shoe this durability, you know, on the midsole. Yeah. Nice. And just by talking about Norda, they have a really nice approach too, you know, of thinking a product, and they only have two or three products now. I think, really close to each other. And I already had the chance to talk with, I think it's Nick from Norda. Yeah.
Yeah. Nick and Willa.
We talk in French together, and they have the same way and same vision than us, you know, by creating products. So, and they do an amazing job on the trail running shoe. So it's really, really cool, you know, to be able to share with other brands like this and be able to just, you know, sit on the same table and talk about what we like and what we want for our running shoe or trail running shoe.
That's so cool. I love that there's a cross between you guys and Nick. Because I love the concept of they built a shoe out that the model, that's the model, like 001, here it is. We're not updating it. We believe this is the best shoe that we can give you for this use, and that's the shoe.
And that's the shoe, yeah. Then, of course, year after year, you can find some features to bring on it, but it's on the good way, you know. You don't do that because of the marketing or because of the seasonality of a shoe. You do that because you deeply think it will improve the durability of the shoe. And we have exactly the same vision than us, than them, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm certainly jealous of the bilingual abilities because I was going to compliment you. Your English is fantastic. And Robbie, how many other languages are you fluent in?
Not many.
Not many.
I know some Spanish, but not enough from taking 3 years of it in school, but that not to be fluent in it. But it is embarrassing whenever we talk to other people from other countries who are so fluent in English. I'm just like,
enough French to order a drink, I guess.
Not even. I went to the Louvre and they had a Starbucks there and I thought, well, I should be able to order a Starbucks at the Louvre, and the French woman who was helping me was snickering at my lack of ability.
Oh, speaking of which, we're going to be in Paris in July. Can you give us any tips as to how to not completely
be American?
First of all, I would say don't buy a baguette and walk the whole day with it on your hand, you know? No one do that actually in Paris.
What about those hats?
The hats. And it's
exactly the same hat. I think like the best way to be to look like a Parisian is maybe to ride a bike, a bicycle, because it will be a nightmare during the Olympics if you try to catch a cab or ride a car. So walk, okay, or at least ride a cycling bicycle. And also something really important, you have to go on a terrace between 6 and 7 on the evening and have a glass of wine or a beer or something like this. You know, I mean, it's part of the all culture, right, especially if it's warm outside. So,
okay. I found it very hard to find mixed drinks, like vodka drinks in Paris.
Yeah, it's more like for the nightlife, you know, but you can find it on every day, or you can drink a pastis, which is like a famous drink for the happy hour. You know, it's made with anise and water. It's really nice.
All right.
Okay. Really fresh. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're excited to be over there in July. Hopefully, I don't know if we'll see you or not. I'm sure it's going to be a crazy week for everyone involved.
There's going to be thousands and thousands of people there.
So crazy. Yeah. Hundreds of thousands.
At least we have a chance to run together for sure.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. We will definitely be doing some runs there. So we'll have to keep you in the loop.
I would be your touristic guide, you know?
Yeah. And if you're ever in the US, we should definitely get together or something.
Yeah.
Do you ever come to New York?
Yeah, I'm coming in New York from the 7th to the 12th of April, because like we have a big stuff coming up in Brooklyn, like something where we can sell something, where we can sell some shoes. So I let you guess what it is. And of course, we're going to do like some special activation for the launch of the Condor 3 in New York, and also something coming up in Oakland. So we've
Oakland, California.
Oh, with Renegade.
Oh, Renegade. Okay.
Yeah. We've run again, yeah. So stay tuned for that. Yeah. If you're okay, in the era, stay tuned on our social network. Yeah.
Is the Brooklyn half in April?
Yeah, no, but we are coming before the Brooklyn half. Yeah, launching. Okay. Yeah, I mean,
that's coming up real soon.
Yeah, really soon. Yeah, so in 3 weeks.
Yeah, what? That's the same weekend as Cherry Blossom.
Boston's the
following
week. Yeah, it's the same week than Boston, exactly. Yeah. But we will have like a new stuff coming in into the city for a long term. So, yeah.
Okay,
so a storefront in Brooklyn. There we go.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So
he's checking with his PR person. Am I okay to say this?
No, good. All good. Right.
Okay. I mean, it's not secret. Speaking of which, can you tell us exactly when the shoe comes out, how much it's going to cost, and where people can find it at?
Sure. So the shoe will be live the 28th of March, and on the US market, the price will be $200, and you will be able to find it on our own stores in the US, maybe in Brooklyn, but we already have one in Mulberry Street. And then we have like all our partners on the US market, and of course our e-com shop, Veja.com.
Yeah.
VejaProject.com.
Cool. All awesome. Right. We're excited for it. It's exciting to see what you guys have done with the Condor 3 and what's coming in the future for sure.
Well, deeply hope that I will catch you guys in Paris, or if I come to New York and you are in the area, we can have a run together for sure. But yeah, thank you.
And if you want to go out to Tahoe in June and try your trail shoes, we'll be out there.
We love to. I have to find a race to do with you guys.
Broken Arrow Series. Yeah.
Okay.
Golden Trail Series or Western States is right after that, but I'm not sure if you're running Western States.
It's too small for me. Too small races.
Yeah. Too short.
No, yeah. Okay. I will try to find a spot for that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for your time so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. And it was a pleasure for me to be able to talk about you regarding Veja and what does it mean actually to run with a Veja running shoe.